Take your Bible, if you will. I want you to turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, all the way in the back. 3 John. In a very special way, those that are members of this church, I want you to listen to me tonight. This sermon has to do with our church, the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, and specifically 3 John. I call the sermon, I Wish Above All Things. I Wish Above All Things. Stand with me, if you will. The book of 3 John, look at verse number 1. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Bless the sermon. I ask, Father, that the sermon tonight will strengthen our church. I ask, Father, that the sermon tonight will prolong the life and the strength of this church and this ministry till the day that Jesus comes. Give me the attention of the people. Father, I'll give you mine. Holy Spirit of God, do a supernatural work tonight. Help everyone to clear everything out of their mind but the truth of the Word of God, and might they listen so that they leave this place tonight encouraged, strengthened, and, Father, a better person than when they came, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Here's the story, if I may. In 3 John, John is writing to a man named Gaius. John loves Gaius very, very much. He talks about he loves him in the truth. This was a very godly love. But John loves this man, and he is talking to Gaius. Gaius is very evidently a very holy and a very, very spiritual man. This guy loves the Lord. He's the real deal. He's not come to church and act one way, go home and act totally different. This guy, he lived it at home. He lived it at church. Gaius is somebody. And John actually makes a wish. Did you see it said there in verse 2, "Beloved, I wish," speaking to Gaius, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So John makes a wish for Gaius. Now, Gaius was not well. Gaius had a weak body. Gaius had a disease. Gaius was sickly in one way or another. And John is saying to Gaius, "I wish that your body was as healthy as your spirit." He's saying, "I wish you were physically as healthy as you are spiritually." Now, let me recommend something. If I were most of you, I would not wish that. That wouldn't be good for you. Some of you are very healthy physically, but you're anemic spiritually. And so if you said, "Oh God, make my body the same as I am in the spirit," you'd go like this all of a sudden. You'd be crippled up just overnight. But this wish that John makes, it's equivalent to, he's saying, "My heart's desire. I wish this for you. I desire this for you." Other times in the Bible, I see that the word wish is used. Job 33, verse 6, it says, "Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead." In Psalm chapter 73, verse 7, it says, "They have more than their heart could wish." And there again is the equivalent to the word desire. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 9, it says, "For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection." In Acts chapter 27, verse 29, these words are used: "We wished for the day." In other words, we desired or looked forward to the day. In Romans chapter 9, verse number 3, you see the word "wish" again. It says, "For I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ for my brethren." The word "wished" is used often throughout the Bible, and you can see it is used. It usually has to do with the desire for something. And we've all made wishes. You have a birthday cake. And they put a bunch of candles on there. And Brother Nofsinger, that'd be like a flamethrower on yours. But they, you get a birthday cake, and they put the birthday candles on there, and you blow out the candles, and they say, now, if you blow them all out, you can make a wish. Usually, I just blow them out, and I'm just wishing that there was ice cream to go along with the cake. My wishes are quite simple. You ever heard someone talk about wishing upon a falling star? You see a fall starring and a star falling. A star falling, and you say, I wish I may, I wish I might have the wish I ask tonight or request that I make tonight, but they make a wish. You've seen a wishing well. I'll never forget this, we were at Abraham Lincoln's birthplace, and there was a wishing well there. And my dad taught us a lot of lessons, but I'll never forget, my brother threw a quarter in that well. My dad made him get in that well and get that quarter out and stood there and lectured him, said, hey, you put that money in there, and you shouldn't be wasting your money like that. And my brother said, well, I was making a wish. He said, you think your wish is going to come true because you threw money in the water? He said, wishes don't come true because you throw money in water. And my brother's, you know, he's all frustrated. My mom's thinking, leave him alone. It's not that big of a deal. But I've never forgotten it. I'll guarantee you, my brother has never forgotten it either. But you make a wish at the wishing well. We make wishes. We have desires. But I have to tell you, not all your wishes will come true. And my dad was right. And just because you make a wish and throw a penny in a well doesn't mean your wish is going to come true. And if you blew out all the candles and you wish for something, doesn't mean that your wish will come true. If you wish on a falling star, that doesn't mean that your wish will come true. I'm going to tell you what I wish for us here at Twin Rivers Baptist Church, but my wishes won't come true. And if you'll listen to me for a little while, I'll teach you something that will help us all. First of all, I wish that everybody would like our old-time religion church. I wish that. I wish it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21 and 22, it says, And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Boy, that's pretty rough. Said that there are times when people are just not going to like what Jesus stands for, and when you stand for Jesus, there will be people that will not like it. In John chapter 15, verse 18, it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Did you know that it was the religious people of the day that crucified Jesus? Now, folks, I wish that everybody would like I wish that everybody would love this old-time religion church. I want to tell you, I wish for every one of you, you have family members in this area, and you have family members that will come and visit our church. I just wish they would come here and fall in love with what's going on around here. But I have to tell you, they might not always. You know, you're going to bring a family member, and then I'm going to preach one of those sermons where I touch on your family member's spiritual pet peeve, and they're going to turn their nose up, and when they get home after church with you, they're going to say, I didn't like it, and I didn't like him, and I apologize. I don't do that on purpose, but I'll guarantee you I'll do it, and it'll happen. I wish everybody would love our old-time religion church. I wish your neighbors would. I want you to invite your neighbors. But I'm going to tell you, if you invite a neighbor, they're liable to come to church, and we're going to say something, and they are so, number one, if they're lost, they won't understand some things. And if they're Christians, but they're not used to the truth, we're going to ruffle their feathers. I want you to know, I want everybody to love our church. That's my wish, but it may not turn out that way. I want you to invite your workmates to church. And I will not, I promise you, I do not try to offend people, nor do the Sunday school teachers when they're teaching try to offend. But I have to tell you this, it is my wish that the people that you work with would love this church, they would like this church. I wish that your friends would love this church and would like this church, but there is some chance that if they hated Jesus, they may hate you or hate us or hate it. I would like it if every church around would say, "Boy, I like that church out there. I wish the other church would say, I just love what Twin Rivers Baptist Church stands for." But folks, I can guarantee you there will be churches that will not like our church. It's my wish that they would. I'm not trying to start a war with anybody but the devil. But I could throw my penny in the wishing well, and my dad would say, "Son, get in there and get that penny." "But what are you doing, son?" "Well, I was wishing that everybody liked my church." And my dad would say, "Son, you go ahead and wish that all you want. It's probably not going to come true." Secondly, I wish the devil would leave us alone. I wish he would. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He's not stationary. Says he's walking about. That's a sad thing. The devil's out seeking recruits. I think churches would be out seeking recruits for Jesus Christ then. But he's out seeking recruits, and he is seeking whom he may devour. Now that word devour, the Conaway boys both gave me apple pies made by Krispy Kreme tonight. Those things are so good. When I get home, I plan to devour them. If those apple pies could speak in about an hour from now, they'd be going, "Oh, that hurts! Oh, don't bite so hard! Oh, chew before you swallow!" I'm going to devour those apple pies. The Bible says the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, tear to shreds. Now, I wish the devil would leave us alone. I wish the devil wouldn't have it in for a church like ours. But beloved, we will be his target. He will hate a church that stands for the truth. He will hate a church that upholds the purity of the Word of God. He will hate a church that is a soul-winning church. There's a lot of things churches could do that might not irritate the devil, but when you start winning people to Jesus Christ, when you start standing on the Word of God, the devil does not like that. In other words, let me make it very clear to you. The devil will hate a church, and the devil will attack and make it hard on a church that is doing right. He wants to hurt our unity, and thank God, this is a unified church. I mean, I have been the pastor for a little over a couple years, and we have just not had tension within the church. We've had unity. We've had a good rhythm in our spirits. And I'm talking about, this isn't just a casual church. We're going forward. We're moving forward. We're getting something done. The devil wants to destroy that unity. That we have a good reputation when it comes to both the paying of our bills. And this church has had a reputation for paying its bills for years and years and years. It's got a good reputation in regard to the Word of God and soul winning, and it has for years. But the devil wants to destroy that. The devil wants to destroy this church financially, and the devil wants to destroy this church numerically. But, you know, thank God, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But notice, it said the gates of hell. You know what that means? We're going to the gates of hell. We're attacking hell. We're trying to keep people out of hell. A church that is attacking the gates of hell, those gates will not prevail against a church that is on the move for Jesus Christ. But I've got to tell you, I wish the devil would leave us alone. I don't know, maybe there are some preachers that want to be in a fight with the devil. I don't want to be in a fight with the devil. He plays dirty. I mean, he is so mean. He always goes after my weak spots, and he's mean. Well, look, if we're going to do right, the devil's not going to like us. And so I say to everybody in here, you know, we're getting ready to start our spring program. We already make the devil mad when we're not in a spring program. There are all sorts of people getting saved, and all sorts of people come to our church. Well, when we gear up, watch out. The devil's going to be even more upset. And listen, folks, fundamental Baptist churches have never escaped the attack of the devil. They just never have. They just never have. So, I wish the devil would leave us alone. So I'll throw my penny in the well. And my dad would say, "What are you doing? I was wishing the devil would leave us alone." He said, "Son, you're not going to get that wish." Now, I'm going to wish it. But the devil won't leave us alone. I'm going to wish that everybody would like our church. But that wish probably won't come true either. Thirdly, I wish that we would never lose any people. I wish that. I wish that, and we rarely lose anybody, but let me tell you something. We can wish that we won't lose someone, but anybody that's ever been involved in the church for any time at all knows that everybody doesn't come and stick. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas was a saved man, working with Paul, but he did forsake Paul. In 1 John 2:19, it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Now, there are people that will come and go, and they're not our enemy, and they weren't trying to hurt us. There are situations in life that change. But there are some that will come, and they'll not stick around, and they may not like us on their way out. I don't want that. I don't try to cause that. I don't think any pastor that's right with God would try to cause it, but I do have to tell you, someone someday will leave here contrary, mad at me, or mad at you, or mad at somebody, and kick up dust and cause a mess if they can. I wish that would never happen. But anybody in this room that's ever been in a church very long, you know that every once in a while, the devil gets in one of those things, and somebody does that sort of thing. You say, "Preacher, are you preparing us for something?" Oh, not at all. I don't know of an ounce of disunity in this church, not an ounce. And if there is any, knock it off and don't tamper with the revival. But no, everything is good. I think everything is peaceful and God is on the throne. And the one person we're ticking off right now is old smutty face, the devil, Lucifer. And that's how it ought to be. But don't be shocked if somebody doesn't, don't be shocked if somebody doesn't surprise you. And you be careful. My wish is that nobody would leave us. I wish everybody that would come would fall in love with it. They would enjoy it and stay and become a part of the team. But my wish probably won't come true. It won't come true. Hey, but let's do this. Don't let it be you that puts your tail between your legs and runs. Don't let it be you that quits on God and quits on the old-time religion. But I wish we wouldn't lose anybody. And I work very hard at helping that not to happen. That's how you get growth. You reach them and you keep them, and you reach them and you keep them, and you reach them and you keep them. But every once in a while, I get to feeling like we ought to rename a church instead of a Baptist church, instead of like First Baptist, call it the Revolving Door Baptist Church. You know how many churches they come and they go, and they come and they go, and they come and they go. Look, don't be like that, folks. Say, "What do you want? Come and stay. Come and stay. That's what we want." I've got another wish. I wish everybody understood us. I wish they understood us. That's another penny thrown in the well that's kind of a useless penny. But that's what I wish. I wish they understood us. I wish they understood a church like ours and understood the old-time religion. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Listen to this. It says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts." In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it talks about people that are spiritually discerned, or their view or their perception is darkened. You know, folks, lost people do not understand holy living. So when you're out and about and you get around lost people, And you talk about holy living, or you just live right in their presence, you're going to rub them raw because they don't understand your holy living. But I wish everybody understood it, but they don't. You know that even carnal Christians don't understand separation from the world. You attend a church where you're understanding that we're to come out from among them and be separate. We're not supposed to do everything that they do in the world and act like them and look like them. We're to be different. And we gather an understanding of that. But I'm going to promise you, there are all sorts of churches out there. They're never taught to separate from the world. They're never taught. There are some things that are just flat out bad and sin. They're not taught that. So they get around you, and now you're living right, and you're doing right, and you're separated, and you're different, and you talk different, and walk different, and your entertainments are different, and you dress different, and the way that you behave is different. They think there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. But carnal people don't understand separation from the world. Confused people don't understand pure doctrine. They don't understand pure doctrine. The Bible talks about these people that have alienated themselves from a life of God. And these people that are alienated from the truth, they look at you and they look at me and they say, "Why, you are weird." No, they are. You're doing it right when you do it according to the Bible. Now, don't go to work tomorrow and say, "Yeah, you're the weird one. Preacher's talking about you." No, you don't do it like that. But they're thinking, "What's wrong with you? You're strange." No, when you live for God, that is how it's supposed to be. When we get to heaven, if those people that would criticize you for the way you live, when they get to heaven, they'll figure out, when they get there, they're going to say, "I've seen people that live this way before." Those people down there that practice some separation, they're different than the world. I've seen that before. They'll figure out that they're going to feel a little odd because they weren't practicing down here for the life that they would live in heaven someday. But I wish everybody loved an old-time religion church like ours. I wish the devil would leave us alone. I wish that we would never have anybody forsake us. We'd never have anybody leave us. But everyone that came would stay. And the one that you say, my friend from across the street used to come to the church here and they're not here and I wish they would have stayed. So do I. So do I. I wish that everybody understood us. But they don't. They don't understand us when I stand up and I'm throwing a fit. Boy, I'm throwing a fit about some sin and I am just shucking the corn and I'm yelling and I'm stomping my feet and my face is getting red and I'm throwing a fit about some sin. And then I stop and I say, "And folks, I love you." And they go, "This guy's a freak out. He's a freak out. You hear him yelling and screaming. Did you see the intensity on his face?" And then he turns around in the same sentence and says, "I love you." He's got to be crazy. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And they think we're strange. Folks, we are to hate sin and we are to love people. And that is not strange. That is the way it's supposed to be. We don't hate people. We love people, but we hate sin. We do have an enemy. It's not people. It's the devil. And he is our enemy. And that's hard for people to understand. Number 5. I wish for us that building our ministry would be easy. I wish it was. I wish that watching a church succeed, I wish it were easy. I wish there were no sacrifice involved. 2 Corinthians 11:23, it says, Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. Paul was the greatest church builder in the New Testament. And Paul said here that in labors, he had to be more abundant as he was trying to let God use him to build those churches, those missions works that Paul was working on. But Paul says here, it requires labor. Hey, not just labor, abundant labor. That's intensity. That's drive. Folks, God blesses hard work. You say, "Preacher, now I think there are a lot of spiritual keys to God blessing a church." Let me tell you something. If you want God's hand of blessing on your ministry, you write this 4-letter word down and practice it. W-O-R-K. Work. The Bible says we must work the works of him that sent us. You have to labor at it. Now, folks, I think we ought to pray. And I think you should never stop praying. I believe in prayer. But did you know that God will not build a church off of prayer? It is praying and then going and obeying what the Bible teaches in other verses, not just the verses about prayer. A group of people we could all lock ourselves in this room tonight and just pray all night long that God would give us a revival. But praying all night won't give you a revival. is praying all night and then going out into the highways and the hedges and compelling them to come in that my Father's house might be full. Then we go out and start bus routes. Then the Sunday school teachers go and visit. I think you ought to pray. Dad said, you pray like it all depends on God, and then you work like it all depends on you, and you add those two together, and God can do something. You can't replace your duty of doing something for God with prayer. Well, nor should you be working physically for God without it being in a life and in a way of prayer where you're getting God involved. But I wish this. I wish that building the ministry and doing for God what we do, I wish it came easy. But God blesses hard work. Somebody has to abundantly labor if you want the church to go forward. You want your bus route to grow, you have to abundantly labor. You want your Sunday school class to grow, you have to abundantly labor. We've got 4, 5, 6 new ministries that we're starting. You have to abundantly labor. That's all there is to it. It doesn't come easy. Folks, if an old-time religion church like ours, if getting them to grow and getting them to have excitement and getting them to flourish, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. But it's not easy. It takes work. It takes effort. There's some dirty work. There's sometimes you'll have to do something in the church that you don't prefer to do. And I love it. I love it when people get to do what they like to do. You go to them and say, hey, how would you like to just come down to the church and we're going to have a ministry to eat ice cream. And I'd like you to be in charge of the ice cream eating ministry. I'll do that! But then you go to, but I need someone to clean the restroom. Oh, I want that ice cream eating ministry. Well, you know, you got to have both. And there's going to be just times. When I had a young man come to see me, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I'm going to be an assistant pastor at a church. He said, the pastor is going to give me my duties. He said, Brother Owens, I've written these things down that I prefer to do when I go to work for the pastor. I said, could I see your list? I said, I'm going to suggest something. I turned, he had written it on a 3x5 card. I turned it over. I said, I'm going to put just a couple of words that will take care of your entire list for you. He said, sure. I wrote down the word everything. I hand it back to him. I said, flip that over. I said, you are go to work for me. Right there's your job description. Everything. Anything. You know how you and I are supposed to serve God? You look up to God and say, what do you need? What are you willing to do? Anything? Everything? I didn't know that I would mow grass when I got my doctor's degree. I didn't know I would unclog toilets. Let me tell you, folks, I've unclogged more toilets in this building than anybody in this room. I have 5 college degrees. I'm the best toilet unclogger in the building. Say, are you bothered by that? Not a lick. Whatever God needs, I'm up to it. You got a sign-up sheet going around God? Just write my name on there. I'm willing. Man, I don't want people to be miserable. You know, if I ever try to recruit you for some job around the church, I'll say, if this interests you, fine. If it doesn't, that's okay. We'll find someone else to do it. And I'm not trying to say, let's find the worst, the nastiest job, something you hate, and we'll put you there. We're not trying to do that at all. But I will tell you this. I wish that building the ministry was easy, but it's not always easy. And you don't always have the fluff jobs, and you can't always do what you prefer to do. Sometimes you just got to do what needs to be done because it's got to be done. I mean, there's nursery. I don't think anybody wants to be in a place where there are children going to the bathroom in their clothes. It's not something you say, oh, you know, I just want to do that. No. But it's got to be done. And thank God for the people that say, I'll do it. Somebody's got to visit. Somebody's got to do this and that. It's all got to be done. So look, I wish it were easy. I wish everything was smooth and I wish everything was appealing. But it's not. I have had some duties through the years in my service to God. I'm thinking, I did not ever think I'd be doing this right here, right this moment. I never thought I'd be doing this. What am I doing? I remember one time the pastor said, we are going to have pony rides for the kids. It was, and I thought, oh, that'll be fun. And he said, Jeff, could you help? I said, sure. Do you know what my job was? Do you know that horses make deposits? I was given a shovel and a wheelbarrow. I was following horses around, cleaning up after them, because I'd been called to the ministry. I would rather clean up the dung for the ponies down at the church than to serve in the tents of wickedness any day of my life. I did not consider it a step down. I considered an opportunity to serve my God. And so I'd love it if everything were easy, and I'd love it if everything were, fun and delightful. But it's not always that way. It's not always that way. I wish this. I wish we would not be scrutinized by the world. Matthew 5:14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And did you know that a church on a hill can't be hid either? Folks, whether we like it or not, we will be a visual church. People know we're here, and they'll watch us. This might be a little hard to understand, but you know, in the last 24 months, people have gone to Twin Rivers Baptist Church website and listened to sermons 102,000 times. In the last 2 years, I would guess somebody's watching. I would guess somebody's listening to what's going on. Now, you have revival, you see growth, but let me tell you, you say, "Ah, that's exciting." Well, you also end up being a target that way too. They listen to what's said. They listen to what we do, and you have any idea how people then criticize? I preached one sermon about 20 years ago, and so many people listened to it. I got over 1,000 emails to my home over one sermon. They didn't like it. Now listen to me. This thing of being visual, it has its ups and downs. But I must say, yeah. Nobody's trying to be visual. We're just trying to serve the Lord. But if for some reason God allows that, and if for some reason people glance at us, folks, just realize, I wish they would not scrutinize us. I wish they would realize we're just like everybody else. We're some Christians that are doing the best we know how, and we're just trying to serve God and make a difference, but we will be scrutinized. There will be people that will take a shot at us. I've been preaching for a long time. I preached over 37,000 sermons. I preached in, I have not preached in Alaska. But I preached just about everywhere else in the United States of America and foreign countries, and preached to probably nearly a million people now. And there's some people out there that don't like me, and I'll apologize to you. Someday I'll take a hit, and it'll be that they don't like me, but you'll be there when I'm getting shot at. And I apologize for that, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. I wish it never happened. I've been shot at enough. I don't like getting shot at. I don't look to get shot at. I don't want to be shot at. But I won't shut my mouth, and I'll keep on preaching the same things that I've been preaching all these years. But I wish we would not be scrutinized by the world. Let me tell you something else. I wish that revival wouldn't cost us anything financially. I wish that. Psalm chapter 54, verse number 6, it says, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I wish God would send the good fairy down to us and give us all the money we need. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be great if there was a good fairy could come and we could all say, you know, we could maybe kick our heels together like Dorothy on the Wizard of Oz, and a fairy would come and say, oh, what would you like to have? And I would say, a big, big offering, a real whopping big offering. How much do you want? How much do you have, good fairy? I'll take all you give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. It's not going to happen that way. I wish it would. I wish it would, and as we already know, we have sacrificed when we got into this new building, and thank God for it. But what do you do? It will cost us. We will sacrifice, and that's the way it is. But I'll promise you something. Those of us that are saved and in the church, if we were not serving God and sacrificing for Him, we'd be out sacrificing to the devil. It'd be being spent on things and booze and dope and immorality and things that don't count anyway. Oh, thank God that we get a sacrifice for Him. But I wish, and I really do wish this, I hate it when it comes to the times in a ministry where you got to say, we got to figure out a way to get more money to do this. I don't like that. I do not like it. But there's no way around it sometimes. But I wish you didn't have to. One last thing, and I'm finished. I wish we would have no battles. I wish we could just be battle-free around our church. That would please me. I would be tickled to death. You say, why? I feel like I've spent my life in battle after battle after battle, war after war after war. And you may say, well, that sounds exciting. Well, you could walk a mile in my shoes if you would like, and I wouldn't mind it at all. But you won't have God's blessing without the devil being irritated. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. I wish that, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we could all be, maybe God would say, He calls us, we're all children in His daycare. That'd be nice. But we're soldiers in His army. Now, if you're used to the child in daycare atmosphere, you won't last long around a church that makes the devil mad, because we're soldiers in an army. There's a vast difference in a child in a daycare and a soldier in an army. And so be ready, because armies, they go to war. Now, not within ourselves, but with the devil. The Bible is our sword. We have a shield of faith and a breastplate of righteousness. And Jesus is our mighty captain. You know, I don't want some evil person to turn on us and hurt us. I don't want that to happen. I don't want someone. I faced something at church. We were trying to do some building at a church, and somebody locally that was in the local government didn't like our church, and somehow our request for expansion kept getting put on the bottom of the pile, the work in the office. And I don't mean for a couple weeks. I mean for months. I hope something like that never happens to us. But don't be shocked if we don't have opposition somewhere along the way. Look all the way through the Bible. All the way through the Bible, when God was doing great things, there was opposition. And I wish that we would have no battles. I'll tell you something. You even take the press. The press can be very hard on a church like ours. They can be hard on a church like ours. You take politicians that are truly conservative. The press will tear a conservative politician to shreds, make them look like there's something just totally wrong with them. Now, I don't want the press. I don't want them to bother us. I wish they'd leave us alone. I hope we never have an incident, and maybe we won't. But don't be shocked if someday the press doesn't try to take a shot at us. You just look through history and look at the churches that God used and that had revivals, and every once in a while the press takes a shot at them. I hope it doesn't happen. I wish that. You know, John said to Gaius, he said, I wish above all things that you were as healthy physically as you are spiritually. What was he saying? He said, it's my desire. And I love you. I think John loved Gaius. I love our church. And with that in mind, I desire that everybody would want an old-time religion church like ours. And I desire that the devil would flat out just leave us alone. And I desire that nobody would leave us and everybody would come and stay. And I desire that everybody would understand us. I wish for all of us that it was easier to fight the spiritual battles. And I wish that we'd not be scrutinized by the world. And I wish that it wouldn't cost us something. And I wish that we would have no battles. But like my dad said, throwing a penny in that well, you're not going to get what you wish for. And the truth is, I'm throwing my penny in the well. I'd like to believe that we could be protected or bypass or not face some things. But you know something? If we don't face the same things churches in history have faced, we probably won't be blessed the same way the great churches have been blessed. And they've been through it. Don't be fearful. You say, what's the chance of victory? It's for sure. It's for sure. It's already won. The victory's already won. I'm not predicting anything. I don't see anything on the horizon. Not worried about that in the slightest. Just wanted you to know. I wish these things for us. Don't be shocked if all my wishes don't come true. In our family, we're not real good about throwing pennies in the wishing well and things coming out the way we wanted them to. I've blown out many candles on the birthday cake, and I wish for some marvelous, marvelous things. I remember when I was 7, I wanted a motorcycle. I wished at my birthday that I'd get that motorcycle. I didn't. I don't know why. I was only, 7, 8 years of age. But let reality, a sermon like this, you might not need it today. You might need it 2 years from now. But remember, we may face some battles along the way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, you come tonight. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are a born-again Christian, and maybe you need a moment to pray, maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, when the tough times come, I want to stay strong. I want to do the right thing. The altar will be open. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You might be facing some battle even right now. You say, well, what's going on? Well, if you're serving God, I promise you, you're going to face a battle here or there. You will be criticized. Your church will be criticized. Somebody at your church will be criticized. Your pastor will be criticized. I wish above all things. And John said, oh, Gaius, I wish for you better health. It was his desire. It was a passion, something that he wanted. It won't be but a moment. We'll pray and we'll be on our way. Hey, I wish for you and your family, I wish you never have to fight big spiritual battles. I wish it for you, but you probably will somewhere along the way. I'm talking about within your family. Hey, Sunday school teacher, I don't want you to have to fight that spiritual battle, but you probably will have to somewhere along the way. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah, one more time. People will misunderstand you when you're doing right. They'll misunderstand you. I wish they wouldn't, but they will. They'll misunderstand. See, I wish the devil would just leave me alone. So do I. I wish he would too, but probably he won't. I wish we'd never lose anybody. I wish everybody that got saved and everybody that came to our church, I wish they would just come and stay and grow in the Lord and be happy to serve God. So do I. But probably that won't happen. I wish it'd be easy. I do too. But it's not.